listening to Miller and Moulton, exclusively on the Florida Sports Network. And now, here's Mark Miller and David Moulton.
It is the bonus hour of Miller and Moulton on this first Monday of June. Hope you had a good weekend, and thanks for starting your week off with us. Miller and Moulton, Florida Sports Network, floridasportsnetwork.com. Good, bad, and ugly, what's on tap? Today was the day when. Some final thoughts. And a big hockey game to talk about a little bit later on tonight. Speaking of hockey, how about the Blades?
2-0 on Idaho?
In Boise? Damn. Last night's game got crazy. So they win game one in overtime, and they are taking it to Boise. They're up 4-1. There's like 6 minutes to go. I mean, they're cruising, baby. You know, start the bus. This party's over. And then, whoo-wee. So I guess a ticky-tack penalty. And Idaho pulls a goalie, so they're playing 6-on-4. They score. Oh, okay. I guess the Blades then have a horrendous turnover, okay, in their own zone. Puck ends up at the back of the net. Bang.
So now we're 4-3.
And we got like 5.5 minutes to play, 5 minutes to go. And then, like, next shift, we get a 4-minute penalty.
Sounds like, David, to me, the Blades had all the what? Momentum.
Mark, they really did. Really did. So now, 4-1's 4-3, and Boise's got a 4-minute power play to basically end the game, because I think the penalty was with, like, 4.5 minutes to go. And you know Boise's going to pull their goalie, so the power play is going to be a 6-on-4. And imagine, Mark, if Boise ties it up. But Blades wouldn't let them tie it. And they get the empty net shorthanded goal with about 30 seconds to go to put the sucker away. 5-3. Up to spit. They got three chances to win two games and win their third Kelly Cup.
I had to laugh. I give Mike Kelly, their PR guy, and he does play-by-play, a lot of credit. After they won game one, the press release came out. Everblades can win series at home. Yep, they can.
Yep.
Yes, they can. That was before game two had ever dropped. Before they dropped the puck for game two, he had that out. I thought that was fantastic.
So, and this is just like a normal week in the regular season. Blades home this week? Yeah, they're playing Wednesday, Friday, Saturday. Same opponent? Yeah. First two games at 7:30, Saturday at 7 o'clock? Absolutely. Oh, okay.
So except for probably not $2 beers on Wednesday, though.
I'm guessing not. That would be something, though, if they did that. But I'm guessing no, that's a regular season promotion only. But, I mean, weren't they the 4 seed in their division? I mean, this is the year, man. Just because they were the last team to get in from their division. Playing their way out of their division and then out of the conference. I mean, they haven't had home ice in any of the 4 series. They're just following the Heat and the Panthers' lead, baby. Well, they're affiliated with the Panthers now, aren't they?
Yes.
It's just... they're kind of like, listen, we'll win our championship. You take care of yours. So, but they went on the road. I mean, you know, they played the first 3 games at home against Newfoundland, and then they were going on the road for potentially 4 in Newfie, and then they had to pack for, hey, in theory, we're going to Boise or Toledo or wherever the heck we're going. They haven't been home in a while. They're sleeping today.
On a lot of flights.
Yeah, they are sleeping today.
So travel day today. They'll probably have a light skate tomorrow. And then Wednesday, Friday, Saturday, the Blades and the Idaho Steelheads, as Blades looking to do it again.
Well, you know, Mark, turnabout's fair play. I mean, 19 years ago when they played in the Cup, the series started Southwest Florida, and Idaho took the first two games.
That's how long it's been since I worked there. Holy cow. It's a lifetime ago, David. That is an really absolute lifetime ago.
Yep. 04 was when they did the their first finals. Pretty sure I got that right. I think it was 04, 05 were their first two trips to the final. So, but they lost the first two, and then you guys went to Boise and lost a heartbreaker in game three. Won a big game in game four, and then kind of ran out of steam in the third period of game five and lost the series in five. And so if you're the Blades right now, you're looking to return the favor. We took the first two at your place. Now we come home for three. We'll take two out of three, you know, however we do it.
And the, you know, like the Nuggets last night with, you know, David Thompson and Alice English in the crowd, Ernie Hartley will be in the crowd for all the Blades games.
Well, yeah, they can invite some of the boys back, you know, Hartley, call Buckley up. Okay. And say, listen, we'll put you in a suite. We'll put the Yankee game on the TV. You'll be fine. There's a couple other guys that can.
Well, there's bunches around here.
Yeah.
Bunches.
Yeah.
There's a lot of players that have stuck around over the years.
But I mean, there's only a few who have their jersey hanging. You know, I'm just saying, like the guys you were mentioning,
right,
with the Nuggets there. I mean, you know, they got jerseys. It was cool to see David Thompson, though, for those of us of a certain age. David Thompson was cool.
He really was.
Yeah. He wasn't as cool as George Gervin, but he was damn cool.
I don't know. I would actually. That's really close because Thompson could dunk and had spectacular dunks where the Iceman had the finger roll. He wasn't a dunker.
Yes, but I mean, you know, the Iceman was like a poor man Julius. You know, Irving had such class and style and panache. I mean, so did Gervin with those long fingers.
I know, but David Thompson dunked the basketball by cradled the ball in his arm, got up over the rim, and with his fist, pounded it into the net.
Skywalker.
I mean. He was cool.
He really was. He was cool. And starred in what some people feel is the greatest college basketball game ever played. The 74 ACC final between NC State and Maryland when only one team per conference made the tournament. And they were the top two teams in the country. So forget playing for the ACC championship. A lot of people thought they were playing for the national championship. They beat UCLA in the Final Four. This just in, that didn't happen very often. I mean, check out how good David Thompson, that NC State team was. They beat number two Maryland in the ACC final in overtime. And I'm pretty sure they took out UCLA in the Final Four, and then Wooden won it the next year, and he was done.
We've obviously talked a lot of Heat today with a huge win in game two. Jokic now 0-3 when he scores 40 plus in the postseason. Did the Heat find something? Let him have his. No, but that's the let him have his. We talked about this before the series started, David.
I would. Because if the other guys get going, you got no shot. Because, Mark, in theory, he's going to, quote, get his. His may not be 40, but it'll be 25, 27. So what would you rather have? Him score 40, but only one other player on the team scores more than 12? Or he has 27 points, 14 assists, 10 rebounds, and three other guys go off? No, I'd rather he get his. Don't double team him. Okay? Or if you do, you better get back on your guy.
It's so hard because his vision's so damn good.
I know.
I mean, it doesn't hurt when he's bigger than everybody out there. It helps with vision. When you can see through or over everybody that's on the court.
And he only had four assists, but they were four nice assists. He had that one tap pass right inside the paint to an Aaron Gordon dunk.
He also had two big offensive rebounds in the final 2 minutes. I mean, it kind of reminded me of when the Celtics late in the series, they were dominating the Heat on the offensive glass. And I thought down the stretch yesterday, Denver was getting all the offensive boards. I mean, they were down 11 and next thing you knew, it was one. Sirius is even. I really believe now it's, I don't know how many more adjustments the Heat can make, especially.
Well, what the Heat's adjustments are is doing it possession by possession. Their adjustments aren't game to game as much, David, to me, as they are possession by possession. I'm going to run zone this possession. Hey, the ball goes out of bounds. We're going to switch from man to zone within a possession. I mean, those are the adjustments that the Heat makes, and when they're able to get Denver off of their game, and last night they did.
But, Mark, to me, what was fascinating is that they spend all the first three quarters, and he's using Kevin Love and Cody Zeller. They're playing a bunch of minutes, and they're struggling, obviously. But he's like, listen, I'm going with some size in this game. And then they get to the fourth quarter, and he's down eight. And Jimmy Butler's played all but, like, 2 minutes, and he's got to rest. And they're down eight. And Spo goes zone, and he goes to his bench. And it works big.
And we're telling a different story today if Denver plays defense in the fourth quarter, because the Miami Heat shot 68%+ in the fourth quarter from the field.
That seems really good.
It does. I mean, just as far as numbers go. And that's two fourth quarters in a row that Denver has been outplayed badly.
They've lost both fourth quarters by double figures. They got outscored by 10 in game one, and most of us dismissed it because they took a 21-point lead to the fourth. Well, they got outscored by 11 last night in the fourth quarter, in which, let's face it, they hold on to win game two. I mean, do we think this is a series?
No.
That Miami can win. Not make interesting, but win.
That's 4 or 5 if they get that done in the fourth quarter. And I don't think they could do that.
Now? Okay. Could see where they shorten this series. I would pay big money to see the Heat win game three. I would love the Nuggets to face something they haven't faced yet in this postseason. I mean, the Heat did. The Heat finally trailed in a series. Okay, they came back and showed their stuff last night. Denver's yet to trail in a series. I'd love for the Heat to win Wednesday night.
That building is going to be rocking.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't matter anymore, but yes, it will be.
It's the bonus hour of Miller and Moulton on the Florida Sports Network.
21 minutes past the hour. Good, bad, and ugly. What's on tap today was the day when. Some final thoughts and a pick or two coming up in 20 minutes time. We mentioned this earlier in the show, and you said that you would watch some college baseball this weekend. We're in the regionals. 9 of the 16 teams have already advanced to the Super Regionals. The other 7 will advance today and tonight. Gators in a winner-go-home showdown with Texas Tech at noon. Florida trying to come out of the loser's bracket. Texas Tech beat them on Saturday. Gators had to win twice yesterday. UConn midday, Texas Tech at night. They did. So now they get another crack at Texas Tech. If they win, they'll host a Super Regional because they're the number 2 overall seed. But, Mark, have you heard about the goings-on in the Kentucky-Indiana? Kentucky's hosting the regional.
Okay.
But they lost early. So they've had to play their way through the loser's bracket. I think they lost right out of the chute, and they've won 3 games to get to a showdown with Indiana. Kentucky against Indiana today in Lexington, I believe. Winner goes to the Super Regional, loser's done. So they play yesterday. You know, Indiana hasn't lost yet, so they get 2 cracks at Kentucky to win once. First crack was last night. Apparently, Kentucky's really good at getting hit by pitch.
That's where they learn to dive? What is this like? Is this like the Mighty Ducks where they learn to dive?
Ive?
Before facing Indiana last night, trying to do some math here. I guess in the, let's see, they played three games, I guess. They had already been hit 12 times in three games. And they noted that in the backup catcher for elimination games yesterday, the backup catcher, who's hitting like a .180 on the season, has hardly played. He said to the guys, I'll throw BP. Get in there. And apparently he hit everybody. He said, we're going to get hit by a lot of pitches in this game. Okay? Be ready to take it. And so the big pregame rah-rah speech was, get in there.
Pitch. Hit by pitch.
And he hit everybody.
Hit by pitch. Hit by pitch.
So he was hit by a pitch. How many times Kentucky was hit by a pitch in the game?
Six.
Higher.
Oh, my goodness. You set this up. I threw an outlandish number out there because you set this up for me to give a higher number than normal. I would never guess six in a game. And it's higher. Correct. Nine?
Bingo! Nine times. Apparently, during the game, Indiana was out arguing because the rule is, you know, you have to make an effort to avoid being hit by the pitch. You do. It's a rule. Now, the effort is up to the umpire or umpires as to whether or not they've made an effort. Indiana was arguing Kentucky was making an effort to get hit by the pitches.
So well, when they practiced it before the game, you know.
Right. I know. Might be a tell. In poker, this would qualify as a tell.
No doubt.
So when the ninth Kentucky player was hit by a pitch, then and only then were both benches warned. Because apparently it came after a Kentucky home run. And so the umpires were like, ah, no, this one was on purpose. So they've been hit 21 times so far in their regional. And the two teams are playing today with a spot in the Super Regionals on the line. I'm wondering, by the way, if you're the umpires, do you do nothing? Or do you, before the game, call both head coaches over and go, okay, just so you know, we're going to not have a sense of humor about this today. Just
they're umpires. I would vote for B.
Right.
If you know what I mean. I would just.
Right. So, of the seven regionals that are being decided today, one of them's in Gainesville, Florida taking on Texas Tech. Winner moves on, loser goes home. By the way, Texas is already advanced, and A&M has a showdown with Stanford. And if A&M wins, yes, that's right, it'll be Texas against Texas A&M in the Super Regionals. Now, I know most of you aren't into college baseball, but remember, this is, you know, one of the last times Texas is not in the SEC. And to get those two schools playing each other in a Super Regional, winner goes to Omaha, would be kind of cool.
Stanford favored to beat A&M. They are the seeded team. Right. They are at home. They are expected to win for what it's worth. But
and Stanford beat A&M last night to stay alive.
But we've had Auburn go down. That was a ranked team. We had Vanderbilt go down. That was a ranked team. I think Oklahoma State was another one.
Miami.
Miami.
Texas swept that Coral Gables Regional.
Yeah, Miami couldn't score in the first outing. Couldn't get anything going.
Didn't do much better on the second outing either. So, by the way, the kid who transferred from FGCU to Miami before the regional was done announced he was in the portal. That didn't work out so well.
Right, Clemson went down. They were the number two seed overall, I believe. Lost to Charlotte yesterday.
So, got nine teams have advanced, seven advanced today and tonight. But there's some, you know, intrigue. Vanderbilt not making it through. Could the, I mean, you know, the Gators have to win three elimination games in damn near 24 hours to advance. They got two of them in their back pocket. Can they win again today?
And if you're going to watch, pack snacks.
Woo-wee! Mm. Man. And it's a shame, too, because the college baseball I had seen for most of the year, Mark, it looked like they were trying to adopt the pace of play initiatives in the majors and minors. It was as if the college baseball coaches had said to their players, listen, you guys are trying to get drafted. Okay, you're going to have to start playing by these rules. We might as well start adopting them here, even though we don't have the clock.
But then what happened was the tournament started, and coaches decided that they could go back to coaching every pitch of every game, every play, mound visits, shifts. It's nonstop. It's a slow product, David.
I forget the teams involved, but there was like two out, two on in a middle inning, and there was a 2-2 count on the batter, and the head coach came out and made a pitching change. Now, I got to admit, I'm surprised more coaches slash managers don't do this. Think about what an advantage the pitcher has if they can throw a strike. Literally the hitter, no one has seen the pitcher. And never mind you make the pitching change when the count's 2-2. And so sure enough, the guy comes out of the bullpen, throws one good pitch and, you know, strike three. By the way, that was the only pitch he threw in the game. Then another pitching change for the start of the next inning.
Did his job. What do you want? I did my job.
Yep. Come on, boys. Get your acts together.
If everybody would just do their job out there, we'd be done with this thing. I did mine.
Yep. This isn't that hard. College softball tonight, but today and tonight. Oklahoma by day, Florida State by night, if you're interested.
Oklahoma looking for, what, 51 in a row or whatever it is?
Yeah, they're 58-1 overall. Yet Stanford has to beat them twice in the same day. Yeah, okay.
Good luck. Miller and Moulton, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Today was a day when and what's on tap, all still ahead.
You're listening to Miller and Moulton, exclusively on the Florida Sports Network.
22 minutes till the top of the hour. 16 until we're out of here. Miller and Moulton, Florida Sports Network, floridasportsnetwork.com. David Sampson to join us on the show tomorrow. I think Pat's trying to figure out, am I going to do, he can't do Wednesday. He's traveling Wednesday. So I think Pat Kerwin's trying to decide, am I doing Tuesday or am I doing Thursday? Right now, I've got him penciled in for Thursday. We'll see, though. It'll be tomorrow.
Well, it's an off day for the Blades. Probably the best day to get Pat's in between games 3 and 4.
Well, that's what I thought. I mean, he's going to be in attendance for game 3. He'll be up early either way, lamenting the loss or fired up that they're a win away from dancing with the cup. So, we'll see. But David Sampson for sure tomorrow.
It's time for someone to take back this segment. If for no other reason than to stop David from talking about Meghan and Harry. Here's Mark Miller with Today Was the Day When.
1851 is where we start today. Uncle Tom's Cabin, first published. 1944, after receiving favorable weather reports, General Eisenhower decides to proceed with D-Day on June the 6th.
I have to admit, Mark, their idea of favorable weather reports, kind of like fishing and duck hunting, favorable weather reports.
1952, the first sporting event that was televised nationally. Jersey Joe Walcott beats Ezra Charles in 15 for the heavyweight title. Today in 68, Robert Kennedy was shot. He would die the next day. 77, Portland beats Philadelphia in 6 for the NBA championship.
It's Bill Walton, Jack Ramsey, and company. They lost the first two games of that series.
83, Yannick Noah wins his only Grand Slam title, winning the French, defeating Mats Wilander in straight sets. 99, Steffi Graf wins her 22nd and final Grand Slam title, winning the French. 2005, this guy named Rafael Nadal wins his first French title. Don't know how he would do there after that.
Yeah, whatever became of him.
He won it again for the sixth time in 2011, defeating Federer. Bob Probert would have been 58 today. Robert Kraft is 82. Kenny G is 67. And Mark Wahlberg's 52. And I have a funny feeling I missed a lot, David, because this was not my best effort today. I can admit it to you that I think I missed stuff today.
19 years ago today, Ronald Reagan died. But that's really, you know, I mean, there's a couple of interesting tidbits, but no.
I usually do it the night before. I didn't. I had to get up this morning. I was worried. I was panicked that I missed something. So I feel good.
Yeah.
I got lucky.
Well done.
You've heard folks elsewhere mock Florida is gonna Florida. Well, Mark Miller sees it differently. He calls it the good, the bad, and the ugly. What you got, Mark?
I will say, did you mention the Six-Day War?
I did not.
Okay, the Six-Day War happened today in 67. Kind of a big deal because 6 days later, Israel had doubled in size. So, yeah, it was kind of a...
It was a good 6 days for them.
It was a hell of a week. It was.
It's a hell of a day for this young middle schooler. Xavier Jones was an eighth grader. He had to walk 6 miles for his eighth grade graduation. Didn't have a ride. Told Fox News, if I want it, I got to go get it. So as he, along with his brother and a friend, made the long walk, mentor Darren Seals was speaking at the ceremony, heard one of his students had walked 2 hours to be there. He paused to inform the audience. And he stopped his speech, let everybody know, and they gave him a standing ovation. But as it happened to be, the president of Harris Stowe State University was in attendance that day and was so moved by the perseverance and determination of the young man, she offered him a college scholarship on the spot.
There you go. That's what we're talking about. That's like the Snapchat guy who was the keynote speaker at a graduation. And he said to everybody, hey, listen, you're going to be equipped to do whatever it is you want. I'm going to pay all your student loans off. $10 million, by the way, is what it cost him. Of course, he's worth billions, but
is he interested in a radio show? Hey, Snappy. This whole show will be brought to you by Snapchat.
Damn right it will. In fact, we may just broadcast it exclusively on.
Right. Just in 60-second increments, one after another.
Yep.
Felipe, it's the first time we've actually been on. Felipe's been on our side for anything. He Snapchats throughout the whole show. It's all he really does. We go to Tampa for the bad, where some jackass at Busch Gardens decided to jump the enclosures to the alligator enclosure.
Unbelievable.
Apparently the man was within 5 feet of the alligators, and unfortunately for all of us, the alligators didn't go alligator.
Really?
Nope. Nobody was hurt. No guests, no employees, no animals were hurt.
Did he did this during normal business hours too. So
correct.
There were people
filming the whole thing.
Golly. I mean, yeah, the guy's an idiot, but do you really want the alligators to go all alligator? Or
when
you
jump in the alligator cage, I think all bets are off.
No. I understand all bets are off. I understand you're bringing it on yourself. But don't you want the guy to get the ultimate mulligan?
the only thing I feel badly about, like when the idiot did it in the tiger enclosure at the Naples Zoo and lost his arm, they put the tiger down. Why? What the hell did the tiger do?
I agree.
Finally, the ugly, we go to Fort Myers, where the McCaslins were sitting down for dinner Thursday night when someone barged into their house. He was at the dinner table with his two teenage daughters when they thought I heard a knocking at the door, and he walked out and there was an individual in their living room. If that wasn't shocking enough, when the man encountered the unwanted guest, he started telling Mr. McCaslin that he was a ghost and he shouldn't be able to see him. He was shocked that he could see him. He thought he was walking around and that no one could see him. They've not found the man. He snuck out. Police were called, but by the time they arrived, he had taken off. If you know who the man is that barged in the home, call Crime Stoppers. And that's the good, the bad, and the ugly on today, June the 5th, 2023. I'm a ghost. How can you see me?
I'm Bert. I'm soap. I'm invisible. It's an old reference, if you're aware of it, though. Come on, you're chuckling. That's pretty good. All right, college baseball today begins at noon on ESPNU, the Gators and Texas Tech. And then there's one other game on U at 3 o'clock, Arkansas-TCU. So if your college baseball is your thing, Gators with a win will be hosting the Super Regional. With a loss, their season's over. They're the number two overall seed. Noon, ESPNU. By the way, Gators are minus 250. Softball today and tonight on the mothership, on the big network, ESPN. Think about this, Mark. They're canceling potentially PTI, NFL Live, I mean, huge money-making shows to show college softball. Oklahoma's got the afternoon. However much time they need. They take care of Stanford at noon? Yeah, okay.
Regular fine. Scheduled programming for the rest of the day.
Right, already in progress. But if by chance Stanford wins, then we just go right at it again. And it stays on ESPN. By the way, tonight, Florida State gets the evening. They get two cracks at Tennessee. They only need to beat them once. So 7 o'clock, Florida State, Tennessee. If the Noles lose, about 9:30, Florida State, Tennessee. There you have it. You're not going to believe what I'm about to tell you. First off, there's 8 Major League Baseball games today, and the Rays and Marlins are 2 of them. Rays wrapping up their 4-game set in Boston against the Red Sox at 4 o'clock. You know, go to your Bally Sports Channel, what have you, take it in. Mark, of all the games that FS1 could televise on a Monday night, they're televising the Royals and the Marlins.
Seriously?
Yeah, the Marlins getting the FS1 treatment tonight at 6:40.
Why?
I just, that whole we're going to televise everybody type deal?
Right. Houston's playing Toronto.
I know. So, Kansas City, Miami, 6:40 on FS1. Hey, listen. Miami just swept Oakland. They got Kansas City, second worst team in baseball, coming to town. Bury them too. Put 6 wins on the board in a week. Okay? And make a serious run at this playoff spot. Let's go. So, don't let down, Miami. Keep it going.
Little soft spot in the schedule. You've got to take advantage of it.
But the big thing tonight is game 2. In the battle for Lord Stanley's Cup. Florida lost game 1, gave up 3 in the third, one of them an empty netter, 5-2. Panthers are Vegas is minus 140. So you can get damn near plus 150 on the Panthers, which is Vegas a much bigger favorite than they were in game 1 when it was like minus 115. 8 o'clock TNT. I'll tell you the bet I like tonight. Over 5.5.
I like the Panthers tonight. They're going to have more power plays than Vegas will. Write it down.
And by the way, Vegas had 7 power plays in game one. Florida had 3.
Thank you. So if you think that that number is going to be anywhere close to the same, you're crazy.
Vegas went 2 for 7 on the power play. Florida 0 for 3. Panthers did score a shorthanded goal, well, however.
Two. No, one. Sorry. Yeah, they just, I'm sorry.
So faceoffs were relatively even, although I have to admit it was pretty streaky in the game. I felt like I watched for an hour when Vegas won every faceoff. But then again, the Panthers scored their second tying goal late second, basically off a faceoff.
Which seemed to be the first draw they had won in an hour and a half.
Right. But I will say Florida did something a little more against Vegas than I thought I had seen them do throughout the playoffs, Mark. They kept reversing the puck a lot in their own zone. Like against Toronto and Carolina and with them, they just kept moving it, you know, whatever direction they were going in, they just kept going in that direction. Let's bang it off the boards or move it up. You know, let's go. Let's get it out. I felt like Florida kept trying to reverse it a lot in their own zone. Like maybe catch the Vegas forecheck awkwardly. A couple times I thought it nearly, you know, led to something bad happening. But be curious if that was just one of those things or that's a plan of attack.
This is the toughest team defensively they've played physically, I think, since they've played Boston. And we'll see how that goes tonight.
Remember, even though they won game two in Boston, it took until about games 3 and 4 before the goals really started coming for Florida in that Boston series, even though they lost those games. But I'm with you. If I were to bet the game tonight, I would bet the Panthers because I do think, you know, I mean, I got them winning in 7. So, you know, I certainly don't think they're going to go down 0-2. But I like the over-under tonight because I think Florida gets to Hill tonight. You know, they had the one gimme that they missed. They hit, what, 2 posts and a crossbar. Okay. I mean, Vegas might be deeper. Their 4 lines are clearly better than Florida's 4 lines from top to bottom. I mean, their 4th line, Vegas, is tremendous. But I feel like Florida's star power is better.
I think that's very true. I mean, I think the 2 best players on the ice are Barkov and Tkachuk. I mean, I do. I'm with you 100% on that. But we know that hockey's not won by 2 stars. It's won often by your depth. And the fact that Cassidy can put that 4th line out there and feel confident at any point of putting them out there, whomever he puts them out there against, is a big deal. And they had a great game 1.
Yes, they did. And you could see where Paul Maurice was trying not to play his 4th line. Remember, they got 72 hours till game 3. If I'm Paul Maurice, I'm riding some guys hard tonight. They got an extra day of rest in between games 2 and 3. Whether it's Montour on defense, whether it's my number 1 line, I'm riding some guys hard tonight. 8 o'clock TNT.